Yesterday, we spoke about the halachas of how you're supposed to prepare the chal if you want to eat it. Big machlokes in about it. To summarize the dinin, where they appear in Shulchan Aruch, is basically according to the mechaber, if you want to follow the minig, in order to prepare the chal l'chatchila, you could either do tzli. Before you do tzli, you have to do kriya shasi v'erev. And then you could roast it. And if you want, you could cook it by itself, but first you have to do kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel. That's if you want to eat the chal by itself. The Ramah says, if you want to eat the chal, you're not allowed to cook it at all, even by itself. The only thing you could do is tzli, and before you do tzli, you have to do kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel. So it is basically two differences between the Mechaber and Ramah in terms of being allowed to eat the chal, in terms of preparing the chal l'chatchila. The Mechaber allows you to cook it by itself after you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel, whereas the Ramah does not allow you to cook it by itself at all. And tzli is pretty, they're pretty similar. They both allow you to roast the chal in order to eat it. Just the Ramah says you have to do kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel, and the Mechaber says you don't have to do that last step of v'ticha b'koisel to squeeze it against the wall. You don't have to do. That's in order to eat. That's in order the chatchila if you want to prepare the chal. B'di'eved. So now Allah is like this. Everyone agrees that if you roasted the chal, it's going to be mutter, even if you did not do any kriya shasi v'erev at all. Even if you didn't do any kriya at all, if you roasted it, it's going to be mutter b'di'eved. That everybody agrees. Everybody also agrees that if you cooked it together with other meat and you did not do kriya, it's going to be aser. Okay? If you did a kriya, if you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel and you cooked it by itself, where according to the Mechaber, you were even allowed to do that l'chatchila, according to the Ramah, although you were not allowed to do that l'chatchila, but b'di'eved, it's going to be okay. And where the Mechaber and the Ramah argue b'di'eved is if you did kriya shasi, if you cooked it by itself without doing kriya, according to the Mechaber, that's okay, because it only becomes basar b'chalav if it mixes with other meat. And according to the Ramah, that's aser. That's one difference. And the other difference is if you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel and you cooked it together with other meat. According to the Mechaber, that's mutter b'di'eved. And according to the Ramah, that's aser b'di'eved. And it's only going to be mutter b'hafsa merubah. So that's really a summary of the dinim of the chal. Of that whole complicated thing, that's the summary of the halachas as they appear in Shulchan Aruch. That's the only part you have to know in terms of the ma'isa. We also spoke about roasting the chal together with other meat. So let's summarize those halachas. You want to roast the chal together with other meat. So before we were discussing just in order to prepare the chal, you're doing it by itself. The chatchila, you're supposed to do kriya. B'di'eved, it's going to be mutter even if you did not do kriya. What happens if you're roasting it together with other meat? Is the chal going to make the other meat aser, or is the other meat going to make the chal aser? So here we say that the Ramah paskins that l'chatchila, you're not supposed to roast it with other meat. Even if you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel, you're not supposed to roast it with other meat, because the Ramah learns that even if you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel, the chal is not allowed to be on top of the other meat, because even after you squeezed out all the milk, there's still going to be some white stuff dripping out. And if you have the chal on top and the meat on bottom, then the white stuff's going to drip out onto the meat, and it's going to mix with the meat, and it's going to look like basar b'chalav. So that's a problem l'chatchila. So therefore, l'chatchila, you're not supposed to roast it with other meat. Why can't you even do it underneath the other meat? Because the Ramah says, even if the chal starts off on bottom, sometimes you're going to flip it around and the chal is going to be on top. So therefore, l'chatchila, you're not supposed to do it with other meat even after you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel. B'di'eved, so if you did kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel, so then it's always going to be mutter, even if you roast it together with other meat. Doesn't matter what's on top, what's on bottom. If you did not do kriya shasi v'erev v'ticha b'koisel and you roasted it with other meat, so then, whatever is on bottom is going to become aser. If the kal was on top and the meat was on bottom, so then the piece of meat on bottom is going to become aser from the milk of the kal that goes down onto the meat. And if it was the other way around, if the meat was on top and the kal was on bottom, so then the kal is going to become aser from the juices of the meat that drip down onto the kal. That is if you did not do kriya. So again, so lechatchila, you're not supposed to roast it together with other meat, even after you did kriya shasi v'ervaticha b'kaisel. You're only supposed to roast by itself. Okay? B'di'avid, that you did roast it together with other meat, so it depends. If you did kriya shasi v'ervaticha b'kaisel on the kal, so then it's always going to be mutter. Everything's going to be mutter b'di'avid. If you did not do a proper kriya to squeeze out the milk, so then whatever's on top will be mutter, and whatever's underneath will be aser. If the kal is underneath, the kal will become aser from the juices of the meat. And if the meat is underneath, it will become aser from the milk of the kal. That is roasting together with other meat, according to the Ramah. According to the Mechaber, he's more lenient. He says that if you squeezed out all the milk, so then it's a regular piece of meat, you could do whatever you want. If you did not do kriya, so that's when we say that if it's underneath, if the kal is underneath, it will be okay. And if the kal is on top, so lechatchila you're not supposed to do it that way, but b'di'avad it will be okay. So if you did not do kriya, so then that's when the mechaber says you're not really supposed to roast it together, because the kal could end up being on top. But b'di'avad, it's going to be okay even if you did not do kriya. Why will it be okay even if you did not do kriya? Seemingly, the milk of the kal is mixing with other meat, which is a problem. So the answer is, it's really, when you're cooking it together with other meat, it's a big problem. But when you're roasting it, it doesn't really mix so much with the other meat. Most of it gets burnt up from the fire, so it's not such a big deal. That is the main... Huh? Yeah, even if you did not do kriya. So that's pretty much the second half of the simen. We discussed that yesterday. That's pretty much from Sif Beis till the end. Today I want to talk about the other sugya of the topic of kal, which is, let's say you prepared the kal in a way that's a problem. Let's use as an example something which is a problem, kulei alma, that you cooked the kal with other meat and you did not do kriya on the kal. Which we said, l'kulei alma, it's aser. Milk of the kal comes out, mixes with the other meat, and it becomes basar b'chalav. Yeah? So the Gemara speaks about a bunch of special rules when it comes to the bittul of the kal. The halachas, that when we talk about the sheer bittul, the Gemara speaks about certain special rules. And that's really spoken about more in the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. That's more in Sif Aleph. That's what we want to focus on today. And I should say that in a certain sense, and this is like in a way the less complicated part of the siman, but it's more important because, you know, what we discussed yesterday, that's halachas of a kal. You're probably never going to get it's never going to come up again. It's finished. How are you supposed to prepare the kal? We learned about it now, it's not going to come up till the end of the year, it's not going to come up again. What we're going to talk about today, the rules, the special rules that the Gemara speaks about when it comes to the bittul of the kal, some of these rules are going to come up again and again from now till the end of the year. So we learn out some important rules where it appears in the Gemara is concerning the kal. So that's why it's very important to focus in and understand properly what we're saying now. So, the Gemara says that when you cook the kal with other meat and you didn't do kriya, so it's a problem. So it's going to make everything else aser, unless what? Unless you have shishim. Because if you have shishim, that's like any iser that falls into a pot of heter. Let's say I'm cooking potato soup and a piece of nevela falls in. Does it make my whole potato soup aser? So it depends. If I have shishim in the potato soup against the piece of nevela, so then the potato soup stays mutter. And if I don't have shishim, so then the taste of the piece of nevela, it gives a taste into my potato soup, and it makes my potato soup aser, because I could taste the nevela in the potato soup. That's the regular rule that you're familiar with, even though we really didn't learn the makaris of all that. That's we're going to reach that in Hilchos Taruvos. But you're familiar with that basic rule. There's a din of bittul b'shishim. So the same thing by the kal. since you didn't do what you had to do, you didn't do Kriya Shasa Raticha B'Kaisel, you cooked it with other meat, so now the milk of the cow is going to mix with the meat, and it could become Basar B'Challah. So that's just like if you have a pot of Basar, cooking Basar, and a little bit of milk falls in, so what's going to be the halacha? If you have shishim in the meat against a little bit of milk, so then everything is mutter. And if you don't have shishim against it, so then the milk gives a taste into the meat, and it becomes Basar B'Challah, and it's Asar. That's the same thing by the cow. The milk of the cow is going to mix with the meat. If you had shishim in the meat against the cow, against the milk, which is the problem, right? So if you had shishim against the milk, everything is okay. If you didn't have shishim against the milk, everything becomes asr. Okay? But here we have our first important rule. What do you need? What's the problem in this example? When you're cooking the cow with the other meat, what's the problem? What's causing the problem? Is it the meat of the cow or is it the chalav of the cow? It's only the chalav of the cow. We remarked him yesterday that the cow is a piece of meat l'chal davar. It's meat deraisa. The milk shabbai is only milk midrabanan. But the meat, it's a piece of meat minatayr. It's pure meat. Okay? So the meat is pure kosher meat. It has the milk in it. The milk in it is not allowed to mix with other meat because then it's going to become basar b'challah, at least midrabanan. So the whole issue, the whole problem when I cooked it together with the other meat was the milk that was inside the chal. It comes out and it mixes with the rest of the meat. So that's like when milk falls into a pot of meat. So really, what should I need shishim against? What do I need to be mevatel? I only need to be mevatel the milk that came out of the chal, the milk that was in the chal, not the meat of it. Now let's figure out, let's say I have a cow, I don't know how, what's the typical size of a cow, but we'll just use like an example. Let's say the cow is one kazayis, yeah? So that means, I don't know what percentage, but let's say half of it is meat, and then half of it is milk, right? Most, there's meat, it's a piece of meat, right? So you want to tell me that piece of meat is filled up with milk, fine. But there's a good percentage of that piece that's meat. Which is not a problem when to cook that meat together with other meat. It's only the chalav that's in the meat that when it mixes with the meat is a problem. So I really only need to be mavatal the milk that's inside of it. So should we say, let's try and calculate how much milk you really have inside the cow. And you really only need shishim against the milk. Because that's really what the issue is. So that's rule number one. And the Gemara says that you have to calculate against the entire cow. You have to make believe the whole entire cow is a piece is milk. Even though you know for a fact that some of it is meat, and the meat is not a problem in terms of cooking it together with the other meat. It's only the milk that's inside of it. Afalpikain, you have to treat it as if it's full of milk. So however big the cow is, if the cow is one kazayis big, you have to have 60 against that. The entire kazayis. You can't just say, well, I'll only need 60 against half a kazayis, so it'll be enough to have 30 kazayisim. Why is the reason? What's the reason for this rule? So the Gemara says, because the loyadinan kama nafik minei. We don't know how much comes out, how much milk comes out. We don't know what percentage, first of all, of the chal is milk. And we don't know how much of that milk comes out. So in order to basically, we shouldn't come to calculate wrong in other cases. We're not going to let each person start to figure out how much milk was, what percentage of the cow was milk, and how much of that milk really came out, and you only need shishim against that. We don't do that, okay? You only need, we have to assume that the whole cow is milk, and we have to make believe as if all that milk came out and mixed with the pot, so therefore you're going to have shishim against the entire cow. So that's rule number one. Sarach l'shar neged kula. You have to be m'shar against the whole entire kal. However big the kal is, the volume of the kal is. If it's one kazayis, you need shishim against the whole kazayis. But not against the... You can't start